Hello, everyone, and welcome to Completing Daily Tasks with Tips and Tricks from Max.
Hi, everybody. My name is Max Colucci. This is a third part in a five-part series where we're kind of talking about different ADLs. This project is being funded by, it's called the Wage Center, R-A-I-S-E. I can never say that right. But they they kind of produce information to give to different organizations around the state to kind of help promote disability and talk about like the things that people with disability go through. So today we're going to talk about bathing, and I have two people with me, John Tagg and Emily Cohen. I'll let them kind of introduce themselves and then I'll ask some questions. So who wants to go first?
Emily, you wanna go first?
I'm Emily. I'm from Bloomfield, Connecticut. I am a professional disability advocate, and I have a business. I have a physical disability called athetoid quadriplegic cerebral palsy.
Well, thank you for sharing, Emily. John?
I'm John Tagg. As a descriptive, I'm a 78-year-old white male with a gray beard and wearing a blue top. I live in the East Liberty section of Pittsburgh. Although my wife and I have a house in Greenfield, I've been out here in East Liberty for about 10 years in a wheelchair accessible apartment. My physical disability is, my diagnosis is muscular dystrophy, and which is what I tell people is my muscles are slowly but surely dissolving. And so I'm looking forward to talking about the bathing part of what I do, because that's changed over time.
I am to type in the first question in the chat. So, let's see it. So my first question is, you know, what method of bathing do you prefer? Do you prefer, taking a shower? Do you prefer taking a bath? You know, is there one that you can do, one that you can't do? And kind of talk about why maybe you prefer. So John, we'll start with you and then we'll go to Emily.
Okay. Obviously, my preference would be to take a shower. And as I said, with my muscular dystrophy, I've gotten weaker over time. So the ability to get in, transfer over into a shower stall is ended a number of years back. I used to travel a lot. And so I would use certain hotels I like to stay at because they had great showers. And I could do that. I like to sit in the shower for an hour because it's relaxing. What I do right now is really just someone bathes me. I can no longer bathe myself. So I do two parts of that. One, I have my top and face and all that washed while I'm in the chair. And then when I change my clothes, I do bathing in bed. So that technique's a little bit different. And so that's what's happened actually ever since I've really been out here in East Liberty. So I've been, so that's been a significant change in the way I bathe.
Very cool. Emily, do you have a response?
Yeah.
All right, we'll give it a minute. No problem. Take your time.
I prefer showering because I am able to do it pretty much myself. My personal care assistants just wash my hair and under my arms, and I can do the rest.
Thank you for that response. The next question is, you know, to kind of, so the next question is, do you think your disability made bathing harder for you? And like, why? Can you kind of explain why that is? We'll start with John again.
Well, as I said in my first response, my diagnosis is my muscles are dissolving, so things have gotten harder. I'm at a point now that everything has to be done for me, so that's why it's much harder to bathe, because I actually don't do any of the bathing. It's done for me.
Okay, so you have an attendant that helps you in the shower,
right? I have whatever term we're using, but personal assistance services that I receive. Someone does that, and it's all over the place because I have 6 or 7 different direct care workers that work with me, and so some do different things than others, and on different days. I mean, I don't like, for example, take a bath every day.
Yeah.
But you know, obviously, and I can't wash my face, which is part of bathing. I also can't shave, which is part of the grooming part of that, or wash my own hair. I can't do any of those things. Those are all done for me, and I'm not sure what the next steps are. I think that's pretty much it, and that's the way it's going to be moving forward. I don't see anything changing. In other words, with the muscular dystrophy, I'm not going to start to grow muscle tissue again. And basically, all it's going to do is get harder. And I also have to be cognizant of people, how they physically handle me, because I'm not overly heavy, but I'm, you know, a couple hundred pounds, which is makes it difficult for a direct care worker to do the bathing and moving me around, especially in bed when I'm doing bathing in bed.
Thank you for that response. Emily?
Yes, simply because I need someone to put me in the tub and wash my hair. So, I have personal care assistants to help me. And I have a regular bathtub, so my personal care assistants have to learn how to put me in and out.
Thank you for that information. next question is, so do you have any tips or tricks to help appear with bathing? Like, what would you tell maybe your younger self, or maybe somebody that is newly injured, or somebody that is young with your disability? You know, how would you kind of give them a couple of tips on how to, you know, to successfully bathe? John?
One of the most difficult areas is if you have a bunch of different people providing services. If you have one person providing services and they're doing something one way as instructed, but when you have a bunch of different people providing services, and some people have different techniques that they use, what I try to do is to be consistent, and yet I want to be respectful of the person I'm dealing with. I'm not ordering them around like Technically they're working for me, but still you have to treat them with the proper respect. So basically I just work with the attendant. When I get a new one, it takes me time to basically work through the process of getting them to do techniques that I want to do. But it's basically just communication, talking to your direct care worker about what needs to be done. First of all, something might hurt and you want to make sure that you share that with them also. And again, as I said, I don't want anybody to get hurt. So I'm cognizant of what they're doing for me.
Do you have any tips on how to talk to a tenant about your needs, like how to instruct them on how to bathe you? John, did you hear the question?
I was asking
you that, John. Do you have any tips on how to instruct a tenant to help bathe you, or maybe some people are uncomfortable with talking about their needs. So do you have any tips on, you know, how do you tell somebody that is working for you how to help you?
Well, again, like I said, it's a certain way that I like things done, which I feel comfortable doing. But I also have to recognize the fact since I have a number of attendants, it might be slightly different the way they wash my top, for example. I try to be consistent on what I'm doing. And obviously I'm concerned of people being too rough. And, because I have a couple of attendants that are what I refer to as junior truck drivers, not to insult truck drivers, but they're kind of rough, and I need to rein that in a bit. And you do it in a respectful manner because they're there to help you. And one of the biggest problems with attendant care is turnover. And one of the reasons there's turnover because a lot of people with disabilities are not really trained in managing people. That's not what their training is. Yeah. And of course, my techniques are more because when I worked, I had the opportunity to be in management a couple different times. So I learned some techniques there. So how you manage your attendant is important because they're providing intimate services to you, and you want to make sure that they're comfortable. And again, back to the techniques, I don't want them to get hurt or hurt me. So I'm always having a conversation about techniques. And as I get older and weaker, there's going to be more required on their part on moving me around. For example, in my chair, it's not an issue because I'm sitting in my chair, and generally there's no issue there. Is that what you were looking for?
Yeah.
As far as it's really just a little bit about what I think. How I want it done and how comfortable and techniques and talking to people. That's back to communications. And you have to be able to talk to your direct care worker to get them to have a good understanding of what your needs are. For example, if the water's too hot, you need to let them know that. I don't like cold washcloths either. So it's all part of the technique. And they also, in most times wear gloves, which protects their hands, which is also another thing that's important.
Thank you, John. Emily, do you have any tips or tricks that you would tell somebody that is going through the same thing as you?
I would say if you were able to do some things yourself, do it. Also, I put how to shower me right in my job description so they know from day one, which has been helpful for me.
Oh, wow. So you put that right in your job description for your tenants so that they know exactly what they're getting into. That's a really good tip.
Yeah.
That's a really good tip. John, do you do the same or?
Well, I have a service plan, and all this stuff is in my service plan. And again, that service plan is different than when I first started using attendant services or personal care attendant services. And so it's different now than it was today. And there is a different thing if you're dealing with someone who works directly for you or somebody who works through an agency, because the agency provides the training. But what we've learned over the years is everything's individualized. So anybody that comes in here, whether they work for an agency or directly for me, goes through the same process. But again, it's all about being respectful of each other. And there are some people that think they know they can do the job, and then they get in here and determine that they can't or it's too much. I had one woman say, well, a guy ought to do that. I mean, one of my female attendants said that. And so I have to be cognizant upfront what they're willing to do. And, you know, for example, remember, bathing involves intimate care. So they have to be comfortable with that. That's one of the questions. A lot of agencies will do a meet and greet where you meet the person who's going to be coming in. You get it. Now, that doesn't always work, because I've had some people come in here, said they could do the job, and then once they did it for a month, they were gone. Since being over here in my East Liberty apartment, I've had well over 100 folks. Now, a lot of it is people just filling in and stuff like that. But I've gone through a lot of attendance, and not because of my personality, just because of the nature of the work. And sometimes people realize that, oh, I didn't realize I had to catch two buses to get to you. And so it had nothing to do with you. It has something to do with the logistics. And a lot of agencies don't pay that well, so people quit to go to work for another agency that might pay a little bit more. So turnover is an issue that I've had to deal with. That's why when you get somebody, it lasts a year, a long time. That's a long time for me. So and I have a couple people that have lasted for a while. One person left and came back, and that happens also.
Hmm. Okay. So is there anything else that either you want to add to anything that you can think of? No?
Well, I think I've said all that I need to say. You know, I was talking about a couple of key elements: communications and respect, mutual respect.
Yep. All right, thank you both. Thank you. It was a good discussion.
Thank you all for joining us and listening. We would also like to thank the RAISE Center for hosting this series.